A morning at today's daf and Shabbos Kuf Lamed Aleph. We are in Kuf Lamed Amud Beis. We're going to be starting with the words Itmar. It's about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud. Gemara is going to finish off a discussion that had started yesterday. We started yesterday the 19th parak of Masechta Shabbos Reb Elazar de Mila. We introduced ourselves to the idea that according to the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, not only can one do the mitzvah of Mila on Shabbos, even though the mitzvah of Mila represents a malacha of Shabbos, you're creating a chabura. But nevertheless, if it's Mila Bizmana, as long as you're doing it on the eighth day, so then the mitzvah is going to be doche, it's going to override Shabbos. That's agreed to by everybody. The Gemara right now assumes that we know that information, and that is an underlying assumption to the Mishnah. In tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to go through the various sources of how we know that. That comes up tomorrow. In the meantime, however, the machlokas in the Mishnah is machshire Mila. The preparatory stages that are necessary in order to facilitate the Mila itself. So that can that be done on Shabbos? So let's say, for example, the simplest example, the Mishnah's example, is that you forgot to bring the knife over to the baby, and in order to do the Mila, you're going to have to violate the Malach of Hotzah. So this is a preparatory stage. So can one do that on Shabbos? The Rebbe Elazar says yes, and the Rebbe Akiva, which we also will refer to as the Shita of the Chachamim, say no. So it's a major machlokus amongst the Tanayim, whether or not Machshirei Mila can be Doche Shabbos. We don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, which I shouldn't have said so early in the daf, because we're going to be spending our entire daf today going through the Shita Rabbi Eliezer and analyzing his Shita. But nevertheless, it's part and parcel of Torah, as we point out numerous times. So he's a Tana, he's part of the embodiment of Torah. And so we will be spending our day going over the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, but that's not the halacha. The halacha is that Machshirei Mila is not Doches HaShabbos, and cannot override the Shabbos. As we learned in yesterday's daf, you can't, according to the Chachamim, you can't violate Isur Derabanan in order to do the Mila on Shabbos. I'm sorry, in order to do the Machshirei Mila on Shabbos. Okay, but anyway, that's the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara went through a number of scenarios in yesterday's daf, the beginning of the 19th Perek, in which, according to Rabbi Eliezer, how does it play out that one could do Machshirei? So not only can one carry, as we learned yesterday, according to Rabbi Eliezer, carry the knife to the baby, but on top of that, you can even make a knife. Right? The extent there seems to be no limit for Rabbi Eliezer in terms of what you can do on Shabbos in order to make sure that this meal is going to happen. You can cut the wood in order to make the coals, in order to make the knife. So the Machshirei Mila seems to back up as much as one could possibly do on that one particular Shabbos. The Gemara yesterday went through also other discussions about the knife needed to be transported. The Gemara went into a detailed discussion regarding, the transportation of one particular knife went through all the back lots. It went through the Chatzer, to a Gag, to a Karfaf, through all those back lots. And the Gemara says, Shalom Ritzonet Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer wasn't happy with it. The Gemara ended up pointing out, Rabbi Eliezer wasn't the only one who wasn't happy with it. The Chachamim weren't happy as well for two different reasons. Rabbi Eliezer wasn't happy because if you ask him, take it through Rishus HaRabim. If you ask the Chachamim said, Midrabbanan, rabbinically, one is not allowed to carry from the Chatzar to the Gag, from the Gag to the Karfaf, so you're not allowed to do that as well. The only one who is happy with that is the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Yesterday we introduced ourselves to the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, and this is an Erevin discussion, but obviously it bleeds over into our discussion. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that these Rishus HaYachid, which are not primary residents, but they are all walled-in areas, fenced-in areas, the Chatzer, the Karfaf, the Gag, and as we're going to talk about for the first part of today's daf, the Mavui as well. So all these areas are Rishus HaYachid, according to Rabbi Shimon. So they all have the same, they're all, as long as they're contiguous, so they all are going to have one Shem Rishus, they're all going to have one domain. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you can go from the Chatzer to the Gag, from the Gag to the Karfaf on Shabbos. And so the one who is agreeable with this position is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara says that's what we concluded with yesterday. Then yesterday we turned into a very, very deep Erevin discussion. The Erevin discussion that we had yesterday, we're going to finish up today. The truth of the matter is when we do Maseches Erevin, we're going to repeat the whole discussion in Maseches Erevin as well. So it is necessary for today's daf. It's also great preparation, great hachana for the Gemara and Erevin. Just again, as a refresher, just as a quick crash course, we went over this yesterday, but it's certainly worthwhile to go over again today. I'm going to basically take us from from the street, from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and we're going to take us into the house, and we're going to look at it at the way it was structured and zoned back in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara. And that is as follows. You're in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and you're in the street. So basically what you're now going to walk through are three distinct Rosh Hashanah Hayachid. Meaning, when I say Rosh Hashanah Hayachid, I mean, halachically speaking, it is encircled by walls. We'll see for the first one, it's only encircled by three walls, but still, there are three Rosh Hashanah Hayachid that one is going to be walking to as he gets home. Okay, so number one, after he leaves the street, he's going to go into a mavoi. Okay, translated in English as an alley. Okay, it's not the best translation, but, you know, it's the one that everyone uses, and it'll work. A little bit more like a cul-de-sac, also not a great translation, but it doesn't matter. This mavoi now is fully opened into the street, and so when you're doing it, when you're turning into the mavoi, so you're basically walking in from the street to the mavoi, there is really no demarcation in terms of knowing that you went from the street to the mavoi, other than the fact that the mavoi is on all other sides encircled by a wall. So the mavoi is a U-shape in terms of walls, and so it is encircled on three sides, so min haTorah, the mavoi is the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. That's one. Next Rosh Hashanah Yachid, you're going to go from the mavoi, and there are going to be now exits of the mavoi, egresses of the mavoi that are going to take you into a chatzar, into courtyards. These courtyards are shared areas that are owned by the homeowners. So you're going to, and these chatzars also are encircled by walls. And by the way, as we learned in yesterday's daf, the chatzar are generally encircled by four walls. So now you're going from the mavui, which is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, to a chatzar, which is another Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And then from the chatzar, where do you go? You go into your house. And your house, obviously, is the principal Rosh Hashanah Yachid, meaning that is not only structurally Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but it's also residential. It's where you live. Okay, so you're going from the street to a mavui, to a chatzar, and into your house. Now, on Shabbos, can one carry from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Min haTorah, the answer is yes. However, if these Rosh Hashanah Yachid are owned by different people, or if one person owns one Rosh Hashanah Yachid and a group owns another Rosh Hashanah Yachid, so midrabban, you cannot carry from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another unless you make an Eruv. Again, this is Maseches Eruvin. This is Crash Course in Maseches Eruvin. Unless you make an Eruv. Now, in terms of making an Eruv, so an Eruv can be done in order to incorporate all the members of the home with the chatzir. Now I'm going to go in the other direction, meaning I'm going to go now from the house out to the mavui. So let's say I want to carry from my house to the chatzir. The chatzir is a common area, so how can I carry from my chatzir to from my house to the chatzir? The answer on Shabbos is that we're going to make an eruv. An eruv, we're not going to discuss right now how to make an eruv. That will, when we get to eruvim, we'll talk more about that. But what we're going to do is we're going to incorporate. Now by making an eruv, we are now unifying all the homes and the chatzir as one area, and that is now that's the idea, that's the concept of Eruv, and that wouldn't allow me on Shabbos to carry from my house to the chatzir. And then, same thing is true regarding the chatzir and the mavui, meaning, can I carry from the chatzir and the mavui? Min haTorah, yes. Min haRabbanan, no. So how would I be able to carry from the chatzir to the mavui? So I'm also going to make an Eruv. It just happens to be that the term that's used to describe that is not an Eruv, but rather it's called Shituf. Shituf Mavos, which means to say that we're going to use the same basic structure as we did from the houses to the chatzir. We're going to do it from the chatzir to the mavui, and that will enable people to carry from the chatzir to the mavui if a Shituf is done. Okay. And one other point, just in terms of basic background information, and that is the following. As we already noted, the chatzir is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Now, I cannot, if without an Eruv, I cannot carry from the house to the chatzir. Midrabanan. But here's what we are allowed to do. If an item started on Shabbos in the chatzir, so then you can pick it up and you can walk around wherever you want in the chatzir. Meaning the chatzir is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So there is nothing that would prevent a person, not midaraisa, not midrabanan, to pick something up and to just simply move it within the chatzir itself. And so that on Shabbos would be totally allowed, and that is a given. That is totally understood. And then, as we go back to yesterday's daf, and I'm going to reiterate right now, just so that we appreciate this even better, according to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, this idea that if something started in the chatzar on Shabbos, not only can I move it through the whole chatzar, I can even move it to another chatzar, even though no eruv was made. I can move it to another gag. I can move it to another karfaf. So according to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and I'll give away the end of the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shimon, I can even move it into a mavli. Okay, that is because the way Rabbi Shimon views these not principal residential areas, but the secondary residential areas, meaning the courtyard area and the backyard area and the mavui, he views them all halachically as one status. And so therefore there is nothing that would prevent a person from being able to move it from Chatzar to Gag, from Gag to Karfuf, etc., etc. Okay. Anyway, the question on the table, which the Gemara asked yesterday, which now brings us full circle to today's daf, is the following, and that is that let's say I had something in a mavli. Let's say, for example, a knife. And let's say I had a baby. And they were not next to each other in the very same mavli. So on Shabbos, would I be able now to pick up the knife, or as we discussed briefly yesterday, the baby, but let's talk about the knife. Would I be able to pick up the knife and move it from one end of the mavui to the other end of the mavui? So that is the question. And I'll just add one more point of introduction. I know there's a lot to go over here. In order to be able, in order even to get this discussion off the ground, so the fourth wall of the mavui, the open side of the mavui that's open to the Rishos Rabim, it needs a tikkun, it needs a physical entity over there, either a lechi or a korah, either a vertical pole or a horizontal beam going across, lechi the vertical pole, korah the horizontal beam. We will discuss all this in much greater detail in Erevin. I just want to mention it, that in order to even have this discussion, there must be either a lechi or korah at the open end of the mavui. Okay, now the question that we entertained yesterday was the following. Would one be allowed on Shabbos to go ahead and pick up the knife at one end of the mavui and bring it over to the other end of the mavui? This question was posed from Rabbi Zera to Rav Asi in yesterday's daf. We're speaking here about a mavui where no shituf was made. If the shituf was made, then of course you're allowed to carry throughout the entire area of the mavui. With a shituf, you're allowed to carry from the mavui into the chatzer. So it goes without saying that you're of course allowed to carry from one end of the mavui to the other, but without a shituf to be done to this mavui, would one be able to carry from one corner of the mavui to the other corner of the mavui? That was the question that was posed to Rav Asi yesterday. Rabbi Zera asked this question from Rav Asi. Now Rav Zera's response came a little bit delayed, but it finally did come. Meaning, eventually, at the end of yesterday's daf, or the point that we got to yesterday, the question was asked, and his answer was, yes, you are, in fact, allowed to move from an item from one corner of the mavui to the other corner of the mavui. That was his answer that was given yesterday. Now, I said, at the end of yesterday's daf, keep that in mind. And now, as we're over 12 minutes into today's daf, now we get to go to part two of this discussion, Itmar. Continuing now in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav. So we have now a statement of Rav Zera in the name of Rav. Now, note, this is the same Rav Zera, obviously, who asked Rav Asi the question yesterday. Now Rav Zera says, Mavui Shalom Lishatu Bo. So let's say that you did not make a shita for the Mavui. Ein Metaltelim Bo, Ela Bedalet Amos. You can only carry four Amos within this Mavui. Meaning, this Mavui, even though it's a Rishus HaYachid. But mid Rabbanan, it's going to be viewed as a restricted area because no shituf was done. And therefore, the only thing you could do is pick up an item and carry it, but no more than four amas. You cannot move an item from one corner of the mavui to the other. Now, already early on in today's daf, we already are confused. Because Rav Zera asked a question from Rav Asi. Rav Asi's answer was, yes, you can carry from one corner of the mavui to the other. And now we have Rav Zera quoting Rav saying, you can't carry from one corner to the other, you're limited to only being able to carry four amos. And that results in what we would call confusion. So So Rabbi Zera said this, he didn't give an explanation. Now Rav Bar Ravua did come along and did give an explanation. And so now we are going to try to get clarity on this issue. So Mavui Shaloni Shafu Bo Eruve Chatzeros in Batim. If let's say you have a mavui, where? In this mavui. Again, every mavui is structurally the same. The mavui opens up to chaseros. The chaseros open up to houses. So if I have a mavui, where? In this mavui, there was no eruv that was made between the chaser and the houses. Ein metaltelim bo, ela bedal amos. So then, you can not carry within the mavui. Meaning no shituf was done. We're talking about there was no shituf done with the mavui. The only issue over here, the only thing that we are working with as a variable is was an eruv done between the houses and the chatzer of this mavui. And so he started off by saying that if an eruv was done with between the chatzer and the houses, so then you're not allowed to carry in the mavui. So lo eruvu chatzeros im batim. However, if no eruv was done between the chatzer and the houses, mutal atalta bakula, then you're allowed to carry within the mavui. Now, if you try to apply thought to this, which obviously that's what we're supposed to do. So if you apply thought to this and you think about it, it is almost ironic. It seems a little bit strange. Meaning that when is there more allowance to carry within the Mavui? That's only if the houses and courtyards were not corrected. If no Eruv was done to the houses and courtyards, then there is more of an allowance to carry within the Mavui. But once the houses and courtyards are corrected, i.e. an Eruv was made, so then I can't carry within the Mavui of those houses and courtyards. Now, the more you think about it, the more you realize, wait one second. You mean to say that the more I did in efforting in terms of creating a unified community, so that means I'm less restricted in the Mavui? So the more you think about it, the more you realize, seems strange. And Amale Rav Chanina Chuzal L'Rava Maishna. He says, I'm trying to figure out what the difference is. So Ki Irvu Chatzer Sembatim. So he says, well, let's consider the following. Let's say an Eruv was done between the houses and the Chatzer. Now, under those circumstances, what happened? So as we explained in the introduction, what happens under those circumstances is that now all these properties become incorporated. And now, Dinitku Chatzeros, Vinase Batim. So the truth of the matter is, what you basically have done, halachically, is that you created an area of just simply house. Meaning, there's no longer a chatzer halachically. By creating the Eruv now, the chatzer no longer becomes the distinct area of the houses. You're allowed to carry from the house to the chatzer. You're allowed to go back from the chatzer to the house. So that means to say that halachically speaking, the way to view now, the chatzer, the bias chatzer relationship, once an Eruv is set up between those two, is that now basically it's bias. Oh, so the Gemara says, now that we think of it that way, so now at least we're going to begin to understand. Now Rav has a shita in the Gemara in Erevin, and that's the following. In order for the Mavui to have a Torah's Mavui, to be called legally, to have the status of being a Mavui, it must have the following requirements. This is the simple, basic requirements of a Mavui in order to even have the discussion of Mavui. It must have two courtyards opening up into the Mavui, and each courtyard must have minimum two houses opening up into that courtyard. If you do not have that, so then legally speaking, that Mavui, even though physically it may look like a Mavui, but legally it's not a Mavui. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we can begin to understand. You see, once the Eruv is set up between the houses and the courtyard, so halachically now, you lost your courtyard. Because those courtyards are now part and parcel of the house, through the Eruv. That means that this Mavui, if I'm just put on halachic glasses and look out the Mavui, what do you see after the Mavui? The only thing you're going to see after the Mavui are houses. You're not going to see the Chatzer. Oh, so that means to say that according to Rav now, this Mavui has lost its designation of being a Mavui, and that's why under those circumstances, one is going to be restricted from being able to carry within the Mavui itself, because this Mavui now no longer has a legal designation of being a Mavui. The Gemara says, I think I understand. But the Gemara says, but now let's apply some more thought. Because the more thought we put into it, we're going to realize it was a really good explanation, but it was an incomplete explanation. So the Gemara says, Kilo Irvunami. Because, okay, fine. So at least I think I understand the first part, but now let's say you didn't make an Eruv. So what does that mean halachically if I didn't make an Eruv? So that means that the Chatzer and the Batim are two distinct areas. So the Gemara says, okay, now we're going to have a problem. Kilo Irvunami, Lechzino Lahani Batim Kaman Destimi Dami. The Chatzir's Eka Batim Leika. Oh, so here we are going to have a significant problem. Because if I didn't make an Eruv, so then what are these chatzeros and batim? Two distinct areas. So now, as I look at the legal status of my mavui, remember Rav's definition of a mavui. A mavui is only going to have the status of a mavui if it opens up into chatzer, two chatzeros minimum, and each chatzer opens up into a house. But if I didn't make an Eruv on Shabbos between the houses and the chatzer, so now, legally speaking, what is adjacent, what is contiguous to the mavui? Only the chatzeros. But the houses, even though physically, of course, they're there, but halachically, they're not there. If you didn't make an Eruv, you wouldn't be able to carry from the Mavui into the houses. And so therefore, from a halachic standpoint, the only thing you have is a Chatzir, and you don't have the houses. So as much as the Eruv, it creates a problem because it unifies the Chatzir and the Batim, taking away the legal definition of a Mavui, even if I didn't make an Eruv, that also creates the same problem. In that, when I didn't create an Eruv, now the Chatzer and the Batim are two distinct areas, And now the Mavui no longer serves both Chatzeres and Batim, and I don't have a Mavui. So the Gemara tries to salvage this explanation. Well, Efshe de Mevatle Lei, Rishusa de Kulu Lagabe Chad. So the Gemara says, well, there is a mechanism in which, on Shabbos, what you're allowed to do is that if, let's say, one person wants to carry into the Chatzer, no area was made between the houses and the Chatzer, and now this mechanism that we're about to learn only works for one person, and or we'll see in just a second, maybe two. But this is only going to work for one person, and that is, have every homeowner of the Chatzer give up his rights to his property in the Chatzer, allowing now one homeowner to have exclusive rights, you know, almost a, so to say, sole propriety of that Chatzer, and now this one homeowner can take out his possessions from his house to a Chatzer. This is what's called Bittul Rishus. We're going to learn much more about it in Masechta Erevin. So the Gemara says, so once you do that, so then there is a way of accessing the Mavui to the house. So the Gemara says, it's creative, but it's not going to help. So if Ba'isika Batam Leika. Because remember, the legal definition of a Mavui, according to Rav, is that the Mavui has to open up to minimum two chaseros, and each chaser has to open up to minimum two houses. If we're going to use this mechanism of Bittul Rishus, we're only opening up to one house. And again, just from a legal definition standpoint, it has to be that each chaser opens up into two houses. So again, the Gemara, one last attempt to salvage this answer. Efshe de mitzafra va'ad palga, diyuma lagabichad. Mipalga diyuma ulapaniya lagabichad. Well, over the course of a Shabbos, we can be mevatel reshus multiple times. Rav's position is that you can do this on Shabbos. Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Erevin. Okay, so in one given Shabbos, you can do this. You can do Bittul Rishus, and then you could follow up with another Bittul Rishus. But as you're probably thinking, and the Gemara articulates, so, be'ina di'isa lahai, le'isa lahai. Yeah, but again, Bittul Rishus only allows one homeowner at each time to carry from his house into the courtyard. At no point in this Shabbos, even within the exceptions of Rav, at no point in Shabbos are you going to be able to have two homeowners be able to take out their possessions from the house into the Chatzer. And so, once again, we basically end up over here with a failed attempt. Because the definition of a Mavui, according to Rav, is that the Mavui opens up into minimum two chaseros, and each chaser has to open up into minimum two houses. And there is no way, according to Rav, whether I made an Eruv or whether I didn't make an Eruv, that on Shabbos I can access from the Mavui to the chaser, and from the chaser to the house, and treat everything as a distinct area. And again, just to basically reiterate the point, if I made an Eruv, so then Chatzer and Batim become a unified area. And so then I'm going from Mavui to houses. And if I didn't make an Eruv, so then I'm going from Mavui to Chatzer. And the houses, because no Eruv was made, is a totally distinct area. And so the question now is, I don't understand, why should it make a difference whether I made an Eruv or I didn't make an Eruv? Why should it make a difference in terms of my allowances to be able to carry within the Mavui itself? So we tried to give an explanation, and valiantly, the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to now go with a different explanation. Meaning, Rav made the statement. So we can't change Rav's position. The only thing we could do is better understand it. So the Gemara now is going to go with a different approach. Alama Ravashi, migarm lechatzir sheyasru batim veleika. So this is now Ravashi's explanation. It comes out one line in the Gemara, but it'll just take a moment to explain. And I'm not going to read the Rashi inside, but I'll paraphrase Rashi. And Rashi says like this. First of all, we go back to yesterday's daf. Let's reiterate what we already learned. We went over it this morning. And that is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that on Shabbos, even Midrabanan, one is allowed to carry from a Chatzer to a Gag, from a Gag to a Karfaf, from a Karfaf to the, back to the Chatzer, meaning all these secondary residential areas, all these shared residential areas, from Rabbi Shimon's standpoint, is considered one Rishus for Shabbos. And we're going to add, not only is that true for the Chatzer, the Karfa, for the Gag, we're also going to add, according to Rabbi Shimon, same thing is true regarding the Mavui as well. Okay. And so that means to say that according to Rabbi Shimon, one would be allowed to go from a Chatzer to a Mavui on Shabbos. That's step number one. Step number two, Rav Paskins like Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara in Erevin says it, Rashi over here quotes it. Rav Paskins like Rabbi Shimon. Now, with that stated, so now, if you ask Rabbi Shimon the question, can I carry from a Chatzer to a Mavui? The answer is going to be yes, but with a simple provision. And that is, you can only carry from the chatzar to the mavui if the chatzar has an identity of just being a chatzar. But let's think about this for just a moment. What happens now if, let's say, the chatzar is connected to houses, which of course normally it is, and let's say now an eruv was made. So now, according to Rabbi Shimon, these chatzeros, are they just plain chatzeros? And the answer, of course, is no. They are chatzeros that are linked, incorporated with houses. So now, Rabbi Shimon, who normally has full allowance to carry from a chatzar to a mavoi, but once this chatzar now is connected to houses, this is no longer just a chatzar. It's a chatzar that's incorporated with houses. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it sounds a little bit strange, but the more you think about it, the more you understand, it's because you made an eruv now, these chatzeros lose identity of being just a chatzar, and so therefore you wouldn't be allowed to carry now from this chatzar to the mavoi. Oh, so Rav Ashi says that's exactly the point. Meaning, if I didn't make an eruv between the houses and the chatzar, so now what's the chatzar? Chatzar is just a simple chatzar. And has no connection, no attachment, it's just a chatzar. And if I asked Rabbi Shimon the question, can I carry from the chatzar to the mavui? Rabbi Shimon's answer would be yes. Can I carry within the mavui itself? Rabbi Shimon, again, would of course say yes. Meaning, if I can carry from the chatzar to the mavui, I for sure should be able to carry within the mavui itself. Oh, so now Rav Ashi's explanation over here is beautiful. But you have to work with all those assumptions. That we're going like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that Rav Passon's like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, which, by the way, he does. So, but once you see it that way, so now you understand. So because the houses and the chatzar didn't make an eruv, so that means that the chatzar now is just the status of a chatzar. According to Rabbi Shimon, one's allowed to carry from the chatzar to a gag, to a karfaf, to a mavui. And that means to say that, according to Rabbi Shimon, one certainly would be allowed to carry in the mavui itself, from one corner of the mavui to the other corner of the mavui. On the other hand, once I made an eruv between the houses and the chatzer, these chatzeros don't have just a simple status of a chatzer. They are now chatzeros attached to houses, incorporated with houses, and so now this mavui is going to be inhibited, it's going to be restricted, because now it abuts and is adjacent to chatzer that's not just a simple chatzer. That's a chatzer that's now ma'urav with the houses. And that's why now in this mavui one would not be able to carry within the entire area of the mavui. One would now be restricted to only being able to carry four amos within the mavui. That is Rav Ashi's explanation. The Gemara is satisfied with his explanation, and now we get to move along. Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Am Rav Yochanan, and now we get to the second half of today's daf. I say second half, by the way, we're not that far in, but nevertheless, the next part of today's daf is all going to be one thread and one discussion, and that is as follows. We are going to be analyzing the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer has a tremendous chiddush and a tremendous heter, and that is that one can do the preparatory stages of milah on Shabbos itself. Now, is this a function of the mitzvah of milah, or is this, Rabbi Eliezer, that any time an allowance is given on Shabbos to do something, you can not only do the mitzvah itself that's allowed on Shabbos, but also the hechsher as well? The question, I'll present it simply, although the answer is not going to be that simple, is that Rebbe Lezer's heter of machshirei, is it a heter for all machshirin, or is it a heter specific to just the mitzvah of milah? The answer is going to lie somewhere in between, a little bit closer to the most of machshirin, but the answer is going to lie somewhere in between. And here we begin the Gemara's discussion. Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan lechol, Am Rabbi Eliezer machshirei mitzvah dochenes haShabbos. It's not in every scenario does Rabbi Eliezer say that machshirei mitzvah is going to override the Shabbos. Now, how do I know that? So the first thing the Gemara is just going to establish is that Rabbi Eliezer does not say this across the board. Now, the way the Gemara is going to make that point is that Rabbi Eliezer is going to say it in other areas, but he's going to have a limud. I'm giving away the Gemara. The Gemara is going to have a limud, meaning if this was just a binyan av, if this was just a simple precedent that Rabbi Eliezer always thinks this way, so then there wouldn't be need for extra limudim. So the fact that we're going to have a specific limud is there to tell us that Rabbi Eliezer has to have a limud in order to arrive at this position. So the Gemara says, let's say, for example, Shari Shea Lechem Mechovas Ayom Hein Velo Lamedim Rabbi Lazar Elam Igzer Shava. Now, in terms of the Shea Lechem, that those are the two loaves of bread that are offered on Shavuos. So let's say Shavuos is coming up and coinciding with Shabbos. So under those circumstances, so the mitzvah of the Shtei Alechem, not only the offering of the Shtei Alechem, But according to Rabbi Eliezer, the preparation of the Shei Alechem is going to override Shabbos. Now, how does he know this to Tanya? We learned that based on the following Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Meminayin LaMachshir Shei Alechem, Shadochen Es HaShabbos. How do I know that Machshirin is going to override the Shabbos? So, Nemra Hava BaOmer, VeNemra Hava B'Shtei Alechem. So, we're going to create Gzeir Shava. We, meaning we have a Mesorah of Gzeir Shava. It says the word Hava by the Karban Omer. It says it by the Shtei Alechem. Mahava Amura BaOmer, Machshirin Dochen Es HaShabbos. Af Hava Hamura B'Shtei Alechem, Machshirin Dochen Es HaShabbos. Through this Gzeir Shava, we know by the Karban Omer, the Machshirin are going to override the Shabbos. So, too, the Gzeir Shava now is going to extend this halacha to the Shtei Alechem. Now, let's just turn our attention to the Karban Omer for just a moment. The Karban Omer, the second day of Pesach, 16th day of Nisan. So we are offering the Karban Omer that is also a mincha that is offered. Now, in terms of this mincha, not only is the offering of this Karban going to override the Shabbos, that means to say that if the 16th falls out on a Shabbos, so we're going to be offering the Omer on that day, but the Hachana, even the preparation, is going to override the Shabbos. So how do we know that? So it's because that's part and parcel of the mitzvah of the Karban Omer. Meaning the mitzvah of Karban Omer is not only the bringing of the Omer, but it's also the Kitziras HaOmer. It's the harvesting of the Omer that must be done the night prior. So on the night of the 16th, which if the 16th falls on the Shabbos, the night prior is a Friday night, so the harvesting is going to be overriding the Shabbos. That's the mitzvah of the Torah. That's a given. That is the kind of machshir that everybody would agree to. So Rabbi Eliezer says, once I have a Gzeira Shava linking the Karban Omer to the Shtei Alechem, just like with the Karban Omer, the Machshirin are going to be Dochus HaShabbos, so too the Shtei Alechem, the Machshirin are going to be Dochus HaShabbos. And now the Gemara here is going to spend just a moment talking about the strength of this Gzeira Shava. We did this back in Maseches Nida, in terms of judging and giving grades to a Gzeira Shava. There is an A-rated Gzeira Shava, a B-rated Gzeira Shava, and a C-rated Gzeira Shava. Sorry, I'm using conventional grading system, but there is A, B, and C. A, mufna mishnei tzadim. If the word that's used for the gzeira shava is superfluous on both sides, that's grade A. If it is mufna mitzad echad, if only one of the words used in the gzeira shava is superfluous, that's a grade B. And if it's not mufna on either side, that's a C. That's a C grade. Now, under these circumstances, if it's a grade A gzeira shava, so then there is no way one could challenge. Even if one has questions within the Gzeira Shava, meaning that the two mitzvahs that we're comparing are simply not comparable, but still, if the Gzeira Shava is so strong, so it is going to be fortified, and it's going to be above any kind of question. Gzeira Shava that is not free on either side, it's Ein Mufne at all, it's a grade C, so then you could challenge it, according to everybody. What if it's a B-grade Gzeira Shava? What if it is Mufne Mitzad Echad? So it's a machlokus amongst the Tanayim, in terms of whether or not one can challenge such a Gzeira Shava. Okay, the Gemara over here is just simply going to go through what kind of Gzeira Shava we're talking about. Mufne. It is superfluous on both sides. Dilo mufne kelamifrach, because the question begs. Mala omer shekeini matzah kitzur kotzer. Tomer b'shtei alechem shein matzah kitzur eino kotzer. How can I compare the omer and the shtei alechem? By the omer, the mitzvah of harvesting is part and parcel of the requirement of the Torah. Meaning, even if there was barley that was already harvested before the 16th day of Nisan, comes the night of the 16th of Nisan, and we have to harvest again. Meaning, harvesting is part and parcel of the mitzvah of the Omer. That's not true by the Shtei Alechem. By the Shtei Alechem, which is a wheat-based mincha, so there, if I have the wheat already harvested, so there is no mitzvah to harvest the wheat. So they're not comparable. So the Gemara says, so the Gzeira Shava has to be rock solid. So if nui mufne, the Gemara points out, yeah, you're right, it's mufne. And the Gemara says mechtik siv, and now the Gemara is just simply going to cite the psukim. Ve'evesim esomer reishis kitzirchem elakoin. So we have the word hava'a biyom haviyachem lamali. Next time the Torah over there says hava'a by the Omer, so now that's superfluous. So that is already one of the words of the Gzeir Shava proven to be mufne. Shmamin al afnuya. The Gemara says, okay, ba'akati mufne mitzad echadu. So the Gemara says, but that only took care of one side of the Gzeira Shava. Now we have to go to the Shtei Alechem. By the Shtei Alechem, is there a word over there that's superfluous? The Gemara says, really, there isn't. And if there isn't, we know the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rashi cites the Gemara in Yevamos. The Shita of Rabbi Eliezer is that Mufne Mitzad Echad is open to an attack. And we already pointed out what the attack would have been. So the Gemara says, Taviu Ribuyehu. So the Gemara says it's true, But we also have the word taviu, which is extraneous. So the Gemara says that the zereshava of the shtei alechem and the omer is actually mufna mishnei tzadim, and so therefore it's rock solid. Now, what the Gemara now has accomplished is the following. We now know that according to the Shita Rabbi Lezer, machshirei milas doches Shabbos. We know that machshirei carbon omer is doches Shabbos, but again, as I pointed out, that's a universal. Everyone agrees to that. And the shtei alechem is also, machshirei shtei alechem is doches Shabbos as well. Now, how did Rabbi Eliezer know that? He based it on Gzeres Shavah. And the Gemara now has just made its point, which is that the only way that Rabbi Eliezer got to this conclusion is because of the Gzeres Shavah. So that means to say that you need a limud, here in this case, Gzeres Shavah. Without the limud, he would not have extended the principle of Machshirin. So here we go with the remainder of today's daf, and that is that now that we know that according to Rabbi Eliezer, a limud is necessary to include Machshirin, so which mitzvos, which override the Shabbos, have a limud, and which mitzvos do not have a limud? Lima'ute mai. So the Gemara says, okay, so what mitzvos according to Rabbi Eliezer? And again, remember, frame our entire daf today according to Rabbi Eliezer. This is all the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. So ilim lima'ute lulav, so the Gemara says, when mitzvah lulav, atanya lulav, v'chol makshir v'dochnas v'shabbos, div Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, not only is the mitzvah of lulav going to override the Shabbos, but even makshirin as well. You forgot to cut your hadasim. You forgot to cut your avos. Rabbi Eliezer says, great. Take out a pair of scissors. Cut your hadasim. Cut your avos. Machshirin are going to override it. Ve'ela muti sukkah v'atzani sukkah v'chol machshir ha'dochen asa Shabbos div Rabbi Eliezer. What about the mitzvah of sukkah? You failed to make a sukkah before sukkahs. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, no problem. So even though the first day of sukkah coincides with a Shabbos, go ahead and build your sukkah. And that would be fine. Ve'ela muti matzah v'atzani matzah v'chol machshir ha'dochen asa Shabbos div Rabbi Eliezer. Let's say you forgot to bake the matzah, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So that's no problem at all. You'll bake the matzah. The machshirin of the mitzvah of matzah is going to override the Shabbos. So ve'el amutei shofar v'atanya shofar v'chol machshir adochen is the Shabbos divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, and same thing is true regarding shofar, right? We forgot to make our shofar before Rosh Hashanah. Wake up Rosh Hashanah morning. We have no shofar. There's the animal. There's the ram. Okay? So go ahead and cut the horn off the head. Even though that's a malacha, according to Rabbi Lazar, you're allowed to do that. So, what we have just demonstrated, we have not seen a single source yet. We don't know how we know this. That comes up in the Amud Beis of today's daf. But we've seen now that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the machshirin of, the mitzvahs of lulav, sukkah, matzah, and shofar are all going to override the Shabbos. So, what is not going to override the Shabbos according to Rabbi Eliezer? Amar avada ba'ava l'mutei tzitzis l'taliso u'mezuzah l'pischo. So, the Gemara says, the mitzvahs of tzitzis and mezuzah. And Tanya Namihachi, and the Gemara quotes a braisa, v'shamashim tzayitz, talisa v'asa mezuzah l'pischo, shu chayiv. That Rabbi Eliezer is in agreement that if you were to knot your tzitzis on Shabbos, or if you were to write a mezuzah for your doorpost on Shabbos, one would be chayiv. Meaning, shitas Rabbi Eliezer does not give an allowance to knot the tzitzis or to write a mezuzah for your house on Shabbos. These machshirin are not going to override the Shabbos. Let's continue the Gemara. So my taima. Now, why would it be? Meaning, why are these exceptions to the rules? Now, the Gemara's question over here. Yeah, this is a point I'd like to sit on for just a moment. The Gemara over here now wants to know. So why are tzitzis and mezuzah are going to be exceptional for Rabbi Eliezer. If you're thinking about the Gemara's question, you're probably wondering, wait one second, what is the starting assumption of the Gemara? Starting assumption of the Gemara is that in order for Rabbi Eliezer to give an allowance for a machshirin, there has to be a limud. Now, we don't know this yet, but I'm telling you and you don't have to trust me because it's going to be at the Amud Beis of today's daf, that the Gemara is going to have a limud for everything that we just went through. The mitzvahs of lulav, sukkah, matzah, and shofar. So there is going to be a limud for all four of those, which it teaches us that according to Rabbi Lazar, the machshirin adochas Shabbos. And so what does that tell us? What that tells us is that if there is no limud, so then the machshirin are not going to be dochas Shabbos. The Gemara now is going to embark on a funny discussion because the Gemara says, well, why isn't machshiri tzitzis and why isn't machshiri mezuzah going to override the Shabbos? The answer would seem to be really simple. Because there's no limud. And meanwhile, the Gemara is going to spend a couple of lines now going over why tzitzis and mezuzah are going to be exceptional. And so Tosos, you get to see the bottom Tosos over here, who engages in this discussion, Tema. Matzarach tam lezeh. Tosa says, I don't understand why the Gemara is asking for a reason. There was no ribu, there's no limud. With all the other ones, there's a limud. We don't learn one out from the other. And so what the Gemara now want, what Tosas is now wondering is, why does the Gemara give an explanation in terms of why tzitzis and mezuzah are exclusions or exceptions? The reason why they're exceptions seemingly is because there's no limud. See the continuation of Tosas, really interesting Tosas over here, in terms of how we can even entertain the idea that there may be some way to incorporate both mezuzah and insists in this discussion. Anyway, but we're going to continue now in the Gemara. So my time on Rav Yosef Lefisha in Kavu Lehem Zman. So Rav Yosef says, well, because, you know, the mitzvah of tzitzis and the mitzvah of mezuzah don't have any specific time. Meaning the mitzvah of mezuzah, you own a home, you have a mitzvah to put up a mezuzah. And that's true today, it's true tomorrow, it's true as long as you own the home. And the same thing is true regarding tzitzis. Now, yes, there is a discussion of whether or not tzitzis night is a nighttime activity. But in the meantime, however, it's not calendar related. There is no connection between the tzitzis and the calendar. Now, of course, for all the other examples that we went through, of course, that's not true. Sukkah, matzah, lulav, shofar. So these things are obviously all calendarically linked. So Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says, wait one second. What kind of argument is that? Adarabah. Midein kavu lam zman, as we turn to the Amud Beis, kol shaita v'shaita zmanihu. I don't understand. If there's no kviya zman, so what does that tell us regarding the mitzvah? The mitzvah is all-encompassing. It covers every moment. Rashi on the top of the Amud Beis. V'kevin shi'esh lo talis b'chol yom, shemasha b'lo tzitzis over ba'aseh. You have a talis, every day that you don't have tzitzis on this talis, you are being mevatel the mitzvah saseh. V'afilu munechis b'kufsa. Rashi says something over here, which is a point of interest and a point of controversy. And even if you're not wearing the talis, there's a mitzvah of tzitzis. So, hilkach kol yuma ramya mitzvah se'eleha. So there's a mitzvah for you to do it all the time. So the Gemara says, I don't understand the argument you're trying to give me. Well, the mitzvah of sukkah is limited to the calendar, as is shofar, as is matzah. So then I can understand that according to Rabbi Lezer, the machshirin are going to be dokas of Shabbos. The Gemara says, wait one second. You're saying that as a contrast to tzitzis and mezuzah. Tzitzis and mezuzah is a mitzvah all the time. So if the argument is, well, those mitzvahs are just limited, so the Gemara's counter-argument is, yeah, but tzitzis and mezuzah is not limited, and in fact, every single day that you go out without a mezuzah and without tzitzis, you're being mevatel mitzvah saseh. So if you're using that kind of argument, the argument should bring us to the conclusion, of course, according to Rabbi Lezer, the machshirin should override the Shabbos. So, Alam Rav Nachman, Am Rav Yitzchak, Vitem Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yeshua, Hova Yad Alav Kiran. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there is a way of sidestepping the mitzvah. And that is that regarding the tzitzis, what you can do is you can take the garment and make it hefker, and make it ownerless. The only time that there's a mitzvah of tzitzis is only when you own the garment. If you don't own the garment, there's no mitzvah of tzitzis. And so there is a manner, there is a way in which one can sidestep the mitzvah. And so that's why, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the mitzvah of the machshirin of tzitzis is not going to override the Shabbos. And I guess we'll say the same thing regarding mezuzah as well, meaning that you could be mafkir your house. Obviously, a lot more challenging, but in theory, you could do so. And that is, again, another way in terms of how one could sidestep the mitzvah of mezuzah. And so, therefore, the machshirin are only going to be an allowance according to Rabbi Eliezer when there's no way to sidestep the mitzvah. Obviously, with the mitzvahs hayom that we described up until now, the mitzvahs of lulav sukkah, matzah, and shofar, so there's obviously no way to sidestep that. And so, therefore, the machshirin are going to be dochas Shabbos. Okay, and again, it's a bit of a balancing act because, on one hand, and again, I'm just reiterating Tosus's point, on one hand, it's a question of whether there's a limud or whether there's no limud. On the other hand, also, we're also trying to understand this from a svara standpoint as well, that there's some rational, logical way to make a distinction between the mitzvahs of mezuzah and tzitzis versus the mitzvahs of the sukkah, shofar, matzah, and lulav. Okay, with all that stated, we are now going to be able to conclude our daf today, as we are on the top of the Amud Beis, and we're going to now go through sourcing. We have just learned that according to Rabbi Eliezer, for four mitzvahs, actually five, because there's milah as well, so for five milahs, so the machshirin are going to be overriding the Shabbos. So, and as we already established, in order to say this, so you need a source. And what the Gemara now is going to do is give us a source for each one according to Rabbi Eliezer. And then, of course, what we have to do is that for each time we give a source for Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to have to learn what the Chachamim would say to counter that. Because obviously the Chachamim don't agree. And let's begin. The mitzvah of lulav and the machshirin are going to override the Shabbos. Menale the Rebbe Lazar ha. So what's the source? Imei omer v'she'alechem. So maybe it's built on a binyan av, meaning we've already established that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the karban omer and the she'alechem, the machshirin are doche. She can't tzarech gavo. But the Gemara says, yeah, but I can't compare those to lulav. Those are karbanos. Lulav is not a karban. Alam akra b'yom. B'yom afil b'shabbos. The Torah says in the mitzvah of lulav, l'kaptan lachem b'yom harishon. So the Yom tells me, even if it falls on a Shabbos. The Gemara says, now, think about it. What's the Torah giving me allowance to do? Ulamai, Hilchasa. Ilem l'tiltol, l'tzarchar, l'mishrei tiltol. So the Torah is telling me to pick up your lulav. Picking up your lulav on Shabbos would be a rabbinic violation of muksa. But the Torah does not have to give an allowance for muksa. Muksa is a rabbinic institution. The Torah is not giving an allowance for a rabbinic institution. So Allah machshir, so what the Torah must be allowing is the fact that you didn't cut your lulav yet from the ground. That would be a violation of the Torah. That's what the Torah is allowing. So, v'rabbanan, now with the chachamim, we're going to say to counter, ha'omi ba'ile b'yom b'lo b'layla. No. The word b'yom over there tells me that the mitzvah of lulav is only done during the day, not at night. V'rabbi lazar b'yom b'lo b'layla menale. And now, what about a Rabbi Lazar? Nafgalei u'mivisam u'smachtem lifnei Hashem lakechem shivas yamin, the end of the pasuk. It says that you're going to rejoice in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days. Yamin b'lo leilos, that's days and not nights. V'rabbanan, now going back to the chachamim, it's derech. No, I need both. Because I might have thought that we would learn that shivas yamim from the mitzvah sukkah. Mala halan yamim v'afilo leilos afkan yamim v'afilo leilos kamash malan. So by sukkah we know it's both day and night. I might have thought the same thing is true regarding lulav. So that's why I need the extra limud. So the Gemara says, okay, now according to Rabbi Eliezer, so now that we have a source for lulav, so now, why don't I just simply use the source of lulav to teach me all the other mitzvos? So the Gemara says, no, mishum deikel mifrach, ma lulav shekein ton arba mina. The Gemara says, no, because lulav has in it a unique character. And that is that by lulav you have dalamina. You have four species in order to make the mitzvah. And as Tosfos over here points out, not only is there four species, but they're ma'akiv ze'ezeh. Meaning, if I have 3 out of 4, that simply is an incomplete mitzvah. You do not get credit for the mitzvah. And so, therefore, the mitzvah of lulav is unique in this characteristic, and that's why it would not translate over to other mitzvahs. That's why I need a special limud by lulav. Next, sukkah. How does Rabbi Lazar know this? So the Gemara goes on. We can't learn it from the Omer and Shtei Alechem because those are kabanos. We can't learn it from lulav because of its unique characteristic of having 4 minim. So we learn it out from the 7 days of lulav. So just like lulav is going to override the Shabbos, so too the machshirin are going to be doches Shabbos. Why not learn it out from sukkah until all the other mitzvahs? No, because sukkah has a unique characteristic in that it is a mitzvah both during the day and during the night, and that's not true with regarding these other mitzvahs. So now the Gemara says, now we're up to the mitzvah of matzah. Learning it from Shtei Alechem and the Omer is not possible. They're kabanos. And we can't learn it from the lulav because of its unique characteristic of 4 minim. We can't learn it by sukkah because of its unique characteristic and that it applies both day and night. So we have gzeira shava. Malahala machshirei dochen sa Shabbos. Afkan machshirei dochen sa Shabbos. So the gzeira shava, the 15-15. Sukkah starts on the 15th of Nisan. Sorry, let me do that correctly. Sukkot begins on the 15th day of Tishrei. Pesach starts on the 15th day of Nisan. So the Gzeirah Shavah now links the two. In other areas of Halacha, they are linked as well. And so therefore, this Gzeirah Shavah teaches us that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Machshirin of Matzah is going to override the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, now why isn't the Torah limited to the mitzvah of matzah? Give us the limud by matzah and learn from matzah. There's a unique characteristic to the mitzvah of matzah. It's a positive commandment, and yet women are obligated in this mitzvah. Min ha-Torah. Rashi goes through the source in the Gemara in Pesachim. See Rashi inside. I'm not going to go through it now. Anyway, that's the mitzvah of matzah. That's the unique characteristic of the mitzvah of matzah. Shofar. The chol machshir adochin says Shabbos Divrei Rabbi Elazar and nalei l'Rabbi Elazar ha. What about the mitzvah of shofar? Imi omer v'shei alechem shekein tzorach gavoa. Imi lulah shekein ta'on arba minin. Imi sukkah shekein ogez b'leilos kabayamin. Imi matzah shekein ogez b'nashim kabanashim. Okay, and obviously now I'm going to just speed through this. The Gemara is just highlighting again all the unique characteristics of each of these mitzvahs. El amakra yom shura yelachem. B'yom afilu b'shabbos. So we have a drasha by the mitzvah of shofar. The Torah says, yom shua, you are blowing it today. Ulamai ilam alitzkiya. Now, what is the Torah giving an allowance to do? To blow shofar. Blowing shofar is not a violation of Shabbos. It is not a Torah violation. Hatan de beishmol kom lechus avodu lo sasu. Yatsa tkiya shofar v'rdiya sapa shihi chachma ve'ina malacha. We saw this in the beginning of the Masechta, and we're seeing it here again. And that is the idea that there are two practices which are viewed as a chachma, but not as a malacha. Removing the bread off the oven wall, that's a rediyah sapas, that's a chachma. The blowing of the shofar is considered a chachma. It doesn't fall under the category of a malacha. So when the Torah is giving an allowance to blow shofar, what is the Torah describing? So elala machshirin, it's talking about machshirin, meaning the cutting of the shofar off the animal, which is a violation of the Torah. The rabbanan, now what the chachma would say to counter, ha'umi ba'ilei b'yom v'lo b'layla. So, the Chachamim would tell you that the mitzvah is done during the day, not at night. So he says, what do you mean? The fact that you blow shofar during the day, not the night? We know that already based on another drasha, and that is the following. There are, in Tishrei, two times mina Torah to blow shofar. The one is the more popular one, the less, unfortunately, we have not done for many, many years, a couple thousand years. And that is the blowing shofar of Yom Kippur. Not to be confused with the fact that we blow shofar after Yom Kippur. That is an ancient minhag that we blow shofar after Yom Kippur. But that is not a mitzvah min haTorah. The mitzvah min haTorah is on the Yovel year. So you blow shofar on Yom Kippur. Miyam haKippurim ta'avir shofar b'chol artzechem. That's the word Yom. Ugemire mahadade. Now we know that the mitzvah of shofar on Yom Kippur is during the day. And we know that the mitzvah of, and from there, sorry, we deduce that the mitzvah of blowing shofar is during the day. This is the source for Rabbi Eliezer, that we blow shofar during the day, not at night. So once he already has a source for that, so now the Yom Trua is there to tell me that the Machshirin are Doche Shabbos. So the Gemara says, now why don't we learn out from shofar? Meaning if the Machshirin or shofar are Doche Shabbos, according to Rabbi Eliezer, why doesn't that become the source? So, mitkiya shofar de Rosh Hashanah leikol amigmar. We can't learn out from the tkiya of shofar shekei machneses zichronos shel Yisrael la'avim shebashamayim, because that takes the zichronos, our tefilas, and it brings it up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The shofar serves as a vehicle in which the tefilas are transported to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mitkiya shofar de Yom Kippurim leikol amigmar. And even if I were to now move to the shofar that we blow on the Yovel year Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says that also is an unprecedented blowing of the shofar. That something has unique characteristics. Damar mart tika beizin shofar niftu avadin labateim v'sados chosus labaleim. Because there, when you blow shofar, you're not just doing the mitzvah, but what you're doing is you're also creating heterim allowances. The Eved Ivri is free. The Eved Ivri who opts in to work indefinitely, la'olam, so he goes free with that blowing of the shofar, and sados chosos l'ba'aleihem, and fields go back to their original owner. Anyone who has an ancestral field and has leased it out, so in the Yovel year, but specifically on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, and specifically when the shofar is blown on that Yom Kippur of said Yovel year, then and only then does it go back. So the blowing of the shofar is not just a mitzvah in of itself, but it creates it. It actually produces transference of property, transference of indentured servitude. So because of that, it is unique and it is unprecedented. We can't learn from there. On the Amud Beis, we just covered all the limudim of Machshirei. I'm going in the order of the Gemara. Lulav, Sukkah, Matzah, Shofar. in terms of how Rabbi Eliezer knows it. Let us quickly recap our daf. And I'm even going to breathe for just a second. In terms of our first discussion of this morning, so we got involved in the Erevin discussion, is one allowed to carry within a mavui from one corner of the mavui to the other corner of the mavui? In yesterday's daf, the answer was yes. In today's daf, the answer was no. And what we did is we synthesized those two answers. It depends where the chatzeros and the houses that are abutting the mavui was an Erev created between them or was an Erev not created between them. And if an Erev is created between the chaser and the batim that are abutting the mavui, so then, ironically, you cannot carry within the mavui. This is all Shitas Rav. You cannot carry within the mavui. Yes, you can pick something up and put it back down again, but you cannot carry more than 4 amos in that mavui. If the chaser and the batim that are abutting the mavui was not mu'urav, so then you are allowed to carry in the mavui. And what the Gemara spent its first the first part of today's daf doing is trying to understand this halacha of Rav. How do we make sense of it? Eventually, what the Gemara said is that Rav is in agreement with the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who says that one, that a chatzar and a mavur are considered one area, one domain. If the chatzar is just a chatzar by itself, independent of the houses, so then you're good. If the chatzar and the houses have been unified, so now these chatzars that are abutting the mavui are going to create a problem for the mavui and disallowing you to carry within the mavui. That is the first part of today's daf. Second part of today's daf is the extensiveness of Shitas Rabbi Eliezer by the allowance of Machshirin. On the Amud Aleph of today, we just simply established that the only way Rabbi Eliezer introduces Machshirin is only if there is a Ribui, only if we have a Limud, a Gzera Shava, or any other kind of Limud, then and only then Rabbi Eliezer would incorporate the allowance of not only the mitzvah to override Shabbos, but the machshirin to override Shabbos as well. Included in our first discussion was the gzeirah shava between the shtei lechem and the karban omer. What is also included, we established on the Amud Aleph, are the mitzvahs of lulav, sukkah, matzah, and shofar. What is not included, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the mitzvahs of tzitzis and mezuzah. Why is tzitzis mezuzah excluded? So we had basically two discussions running parallel one to another. One, there's no limud for it. Two, the Gemara also points out there's a way of sidestepping these mitzvos for that particular Shabbos through the mechanism of hefkeros. Finally, the last part of today's daf, the Amud Beis, we went through the various sourcing for Rabbi Eliezer. Given that according to Rabbi Eliezer, machshirin doche Shabbos only when there's a limud, what's the limud? And the Gemara went on the Amud Beis through the Limudim for him, going in the order of the Gemara. Limud for Lulav, Limud for Sukkah, Limud for Matzah, Limud for Shofar. What we leave ourselves off is on the bottom of the Amud, two lines from the bottom. We're going to start tomorrow with the Limud that he has for Machshirin Mila, which really brings us full circle to our discussion. And then tomorrow's daf, very, very fundamental, the mitzvah of Mila itself is overriding Shabbos. That was the given that went into our entire discussion. How do we know that? Coming up tomorrow's daf.